Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and this is the post-Oscars podcast. If you're listening to this, that means you're probably a fan of one of the filmmakers I had here. That's either Heather Hillstrom, who made the great award-winning film The King of the Ring, or Caroline O'Brien and James Medeiros, who are responsible for the Fantastic Puppet Life franchise. So if you're one of their fans, thank you for coming and listening. There was a previous podcast before the Oscars where those three filmmakers and myself all made our predictions. And then this is the podcast where we go over how we did and discuss the winners. A few notes before we start. First, their films are in the Discover Indie Film TV series, which is streaming now on Amazon Prime Video. Just go to Prime Video and search for Discover Indie Film. Watch it. It's 10 half-hour episodes. It's a great binge. 26 great short films are in there. And if you watch it and like it, why not be an upright citizen and go to Amazon.com and give it a review? I gotta tell you, that would make us so happy. And as far as the world of Discover Indie Film, the handle at DIF Wins will get you Discover Indie Film on any social media platform, and the website's discoverindiefilm.com. And one last note, I guess I just have to say, the reason this is coming out so much later than the Oscars is we recorded this thing, I think, the week after the Oscars. But halfway through recording, I got an emergency phone call. My mom needed to be taken to the hospital for a heart condition. Seriously, this was months ago now. I completely dropped this podcast in the middle. They came back and we finished up, and I honestly can't tell you how kind and thoughtful that Heather, James, and Caroline were about taking a break, but I sincerely appreciated it. My mom is healthy, and I'm getting back to things like the podcast that kind of went to the wayside. So there you go. My mom was sick, now she's better. Let's talk about the Oscars. All hail Caroline, 12 out of 24, beat me, I was 11.
Yeah. The reason I'm
Heather
so
was 10 and James came in at 6.
The reason I'm so excited.
Shocking.
Very shocking. Last year I killed it.
It's because Jim always kills it because he is like a savant around the Oscars. And every year there's stuff I feel like is socially important that should win.
Yeah, that's why you're from the future.
And so I say I'm from the future. In the future, everyone votes like me. And then this year, when this came through, I sent you a message straight away saying, the future is here.
Yeah. And the past has been defeated.
You are the past.
All the,
I'm so sorry.
Except for Best Picture, where they went to the total safe, old school type winner.
We haven't moved on.
But do you want to go through, you know, the first one we did was visual effects. James nailed it with First Man, and I copied him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was thinking of you, because First Man picked up a lot. I didn't think it would get any. But that's...
I thought it was only nominated for one, but it was nominated for a few.
A few, yeah. Like a half dozen.
Yeah.
Technical ones, but... Yeah. And then film editing, Bohemian Rhapsody won.
Yeah.
I was sitting with a group of composers and film editors, and they were so stoked about the editing because they know the work that goes into that.
That's
so
hard.
That's
such a hard category.
Yeah,
you can't if you do it right, you can't tell what they did.
Exactly.
You
know?
Yeah, I feel silly on that one because I was so confident about Bohemian Rhapsody getting sound editing and sound mixing.
Yeah,
I should have associated that. Well, it should get regular editing
all
then too. But instead, all four of us picked Black Klansman, so we were 0-4 in the room on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Costume design.
Ruth!
3 out of 4 of us picked Black Panther.
You know, and the day after, I think it was the day after the ceremony, I watched my screener of Black Panther again, and it got costume design and production design, and like I'm watching it, and I'm like, yeah, it earned every ounce of those.
Yeah.
Like,
it was
beautiful to look at.
Such like a deterrent from what they normally would do. Normally, they'd always go period piece with costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so James went Mary Queen of Scots, which is the old school Oscar.
Yeah.
And that's recreation, but Black Panther, what she did in the nods
that's
to real cultures and then creating a futuristic culture from those, and she created a whole world.
Using all the pieces, really, I mean, I was, like I said, I was watching it, I was incredibly impressed.
And first African American nomination for Best Costume and first winner.
Yeah.
Having a moment.
And the last one for a decade. Who knows? I'm just kidding.
No, we're in the future now.
I'm just kidding.
We're in the future.
I know. I hope so.
Yeah.
So next came makeup and hair. And Caroline and Heather got it right with Vice.
I went
expecting Vice, and then I listened to the fast food argument. I'm like, it's true. It was just a fast food.
You're too empathetic. You're very
swayed.
I was underwhelmed by Vice's makeup.
Yeah, but that's where we both forgot that the Academy voters aren't such specialists.
Yeah,
as to think that it's simpler, just like, wow, he really looked like him.
Yeah, but he gained weight and he did a lot. I mean, it's a little makeup, but
I know it's more should be like best eating of burritos.
Yeah,
and
best
donuts.
Endangerment of your body. Like you could, if you had an Oscar for stunts. That could be a stunt.
That's true.
Putting on that much weight and losing that much weight and putting out.
So it would be him and Renee Zellweger every year.
Yeah.
And then cinematography, 2 of us got it right. Heather and I both picked Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
Roma.
They love Alfonso.
I know. That one was a tough one for me. I was like either Roma or Cold War.
Cold War didn't get any,
anything,
right? Nothing.
Yeah.
It was kind of up against Roma a lot because they were similar kind of films.
Yeah.
And Caroline went with Star is Born, which I think is a great pick.
I thought that was a great pick, too. I mean, I was like, I was kind of like, ooh, I wish I would have the guts to pick that.
Yeah.
But then when I watched that performance, I kid you not, I was in fetal position facing away from the television making some kind of noise like I don't want to see my mom kiss my uncle. Like, it just felt wrong.
Oh, when they were performing during the awards?
I feel like the general consensus was everybody was really excited about it.
I really liked that performance because, and I think...
It was a great performance. It just felt very intimate.
It was.
You know, but what's cool about it is, like, so what's cool about it for me, because a lot of people are like, oh, they're together. They are madly in love. They're this great love story. Like, look at this performance. You can tell that Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga are going to end up together. And I'm like, no. What's cool about what we're watching, you guys, is that this is what happens when actors work together on a project. The project is intimate. You know what I mean? Like, their character's relationship is intimate. And, like, they can still be, like, completely platonic, but, like...
Called acting.
It's acting in it. And just the way... It just made me admire how much...
When that happens.
How much actors commit and how close they get and how much they let themselves be vulnerable to each other. And what I saw was, like, this is a friendship that's going to last till the rest of their life.
Like, I love that's what you saw. I love that.
Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio are still best friends.
Best friends,
because they had such a chemistry and connection.
Mm. And you see actors working together over and over.
They went to war in Titanic. Yeah. That was a long, tough shoot.
But, I mean, it's been, like, how many years since Titanic?
They were young, right?
Yeah, they were, like, 19. Babies, but they're still, like, best friends. They've done more movies together.
Well, for them, it's like your college roommate, right?
Yeah. And you see actors that, like, intentionally work together over and over again because they love working together. So it's like, that's what I saw when they were performing up there. It's like, this is so cool.
I'm going to try and shift what I saw.
Seems like a cool dude.
Yeah.
I wish he would have won something.
Yeah,
I felt bad for it.
There was like an Onion headline. Bradley Cooper says, you know, I directed it to no one in particular.
Sometimes the Onion is the best thing in the world. That's so good.
I mean, maybe always.
If he keeps it up, and he makes three or four good ones, they'll give him one when he's like in his 50s, 60s.
No, I reckon in the next 2 years.
Because he could go Costner. He could go, like, Costner looked like he'd be good for a while, and then...
Oh, yeah!
So you can give me...
Costner got one for
directing,
did he? Yeah, he got his first directing,
Gibson. Yeah, you gotta... Now we gotta hold back on rewarding the first film.
1990.
Well, and also, I mean, because Alfonso won Best Director, didn't he? That was a tough category.
Bradley Cooper did a great job.
Like, same way we were just
nominated.
Yeah. No, he wasn't.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he missed
that's
a nomination.
That's the part where
altogether.
I was like, I thought he should have been.
Well, wait, that's a good topic, but I'll blast
cinematography. And that was another category I felt was competitive.
Yeah,
it was super competitive.
Yeah.
I can't even remember who I picked.
And as much as I love Roma, I'm not even sure it deserved it.
You know, I mean, because there's cinematography that's like lighting, and there's cinematography that's like composition, and, you know, this was, in my opinion, leaning more towards like the composition and kind of camera movement.
It's like camera movement,
That
was beautiful.
I mean, like, there's such an art too, I feel like, you know, framing a shot versus lighting the shot versus, you know, blocking, you know. I got obsessed with, in the older films, because they used to shoot most of the films on stage, they used to block them really well. And I remember watching like a Billy Wilder movie, like, and watching somebody walk into the frame, the camera move like two steps, and then the actor kind of adjusts to make it a two shot, and then as the actor like walked away from them, they turned and it became like an OTS, and then the kind of camera pushed slowly into like a close up on the other person, and you're like, wow, they just did like four shots in one. And you know, the art of that has kind of gone away.
Was it the Russian act? Was that
a little? Although I would argue that Matt Labatique's work in A Star Is Born matched that, because there were a lot of scenes in A Star Is Born where
it was handheld,
where and like it was kind of a set piece where they worked around it and created shots within that stage.
And I love the shots at Saturday Night Live where you know, you could tell it really was Saturday Night Live, like the way they.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Shot that whole studio and the way they shot the concerts.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Yeah. But also, The Favourite was amazing as well.
The Favourite's wonderful, yeah.
There were some cool choices.
I think The Favourite had a lot. It was really well done all the way around. Like, I wouldn't have been like mad if it had won Best Picture.
Well,
I was disappointed.
And as you mentioned in the previous podcast, Caroline talked about her fear of the candles starting fire. But the cinematography
castle.
With candlelight,
is incredible.
Remarkable.
But it's such a great lighting tool, though. I mean, it's just hard to manipulate, but it's such a great light. It gives you such like a different.
I mean, it could have gone wrong easily.
Oh, yeah.
Well, when
even
we
with a pro.
When we shot the remake of The Favourite, we didn't use candles because Lady Puppet is flammable. Like Olivia Colman, who is probably also flammable.
I feel like we're all flammable.
Yeah, hence the cremation industry. But
well,
yeah.
and it was really your task to improve upon The Favourite in every way.
Which we did.
Which you did.
Yeah.
Got rid of those stupid candles.
Yeah.
So the next two, or next comes production design.
Which
everyone went in Black Panther.
Totally deserved.
James went old school with Mary Poppins Returns.
Yeah.
Which is an emotional pick too, though.
Yeah.
That's because it was so lovely.
Yeah.
It was a tough one. Because Mary Poppins Returns, the artistry on that was really cool.
And the winner was
Black Panther.
And the winner was Black Panther.
Caroline,
which was phenomenal.
Yeah.
Like, I want to watch it again now.
Yeah. I did.
I think
you
I'm
did.
Just wondering, like, because, like, art direction, I was just like, I felt like there was a lot of, like, location shots, you know, like, it wasn't as much, like, sense.
For Black Panther.
They
yeah.
were so lucky that they got that location. I think it was in Rwanda with the massive Black Panther head.
Oh, the head.
Oh.
So anyway,
so lucky.
I still don't love the story of Black Panther because I like the villain better, or the villain in quotes, because he is quite. He has a really good point.
That's what Roy Wood Jr. says. It's about don't trust your family. He went and he stole the artifacts that had been stole back the artifacts, recovered the artifacts stolen from his family, took them back to the family, and got killed for his.
I mean, just like people say Green Book should have been about the composer, not the Uber driver, Black Panther should have been about the guys in Oakland trying to change the world and not the people hiding, you know, behind a shield.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
because, like I said,
but great production design.
Come out from behind the shield and do something. Sorry, don't.
No.
Well, that's the second movie, they'll do something, right?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't finish it the second time when I rewatched it. I didn't finish it.
No, but they did do something. They didn't stay behind the shield. He went to the United Nations and he made that massive speech.
Don't they come out?
Yeah.
They let the Avengers come.
They come out at the end.
He went
so.
And addressed the United Nations.
I don't remember.
In the Avengers, she was like, I was thinking maybe we'd open it up like the Olympics or Starbucks. And she's like, not the Avengers.
Was it as good as Trump's UN speech, though? So anyway. Sound editing, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I was there at my house. I had half a dozen people at my house, and one of them was a post-production producer. So that's, you know, sound mixing. And she was, you know, we were all surprised that Bohemian Rhapsody took it. But she was saying, but you know what? Editing concert scenes and music is really tough.
Mm.
Really, really tough.
I remember Jeff said that.
Yeah.
Well, it just so happens. I think that's the only one that I picked, and you guys were 0-3.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I got
didn't
it because...
You're smart. I didn't realize till I was sitting in a sea of composers.
Exactly.
Well, and when you deal with post,
with...
I rarely mention this, but, like, I directed a movie, a feature that New Line put out with music in it, live music. And...
What was it?
Lip-syncing, motherfucking lip-syncing. A song, close-up shots, it's so hard to have it not suck. It's really hard to have it not suck.
Yeah.
And, Bohemian Rhapsody is just like...
You
stare at his face, you have to keep saying, is he singing? Is
he
singing?
I totally bought it.
And it was Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
It was outtakes from old Queen tapes.
Yeah, that's what...
Of Freddie's real voice. And so that, it was
like,
amazing.
It makes like three different kinds of... It makes like actual... Like, they had a guy who dubbed...
They have
parts.
When they had two, they had the other singer.
Yeah.
But the majority was, I guess, they took... Because that's what made it so. So as someone who's been listening to Queen for 40 years,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Literally, since I was 10, I've been listening to Queen.
Yeah.
And so to hear other versions of the songs that they didn't use, that made it so vibrant too.
Yeah.
But that's actually not the sound editing. But sound editing.
Sound
but you guys. Yeah. Well, this was sound editing.
Yeah,
now I'm flashing
everyone,
back to
you all went
piano.
With Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Quiet Place won nothing. I was really bummed.
Yeah.
I thought they would give it something because it was the only thing it was nominated for, and
yeah.
it's such a great movie.
Yeah.
But
I think editors, mixers would have really made sure they voted for that. For Bohemian Rhapsody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I think they would have, because knowing what you know and that they know, they would have really made the effort to vote for that.
Yeah. I'm more informed after my predictions.
I'm more informed with that one.
But
too.
I guess, too,
yeah.
like, Star is Born was kind of the same scenario.
Yeah, Star is Born.
But I guess
but
it's all original.
Singing.
And then
yeah.
singing, so it might have been a little easier.
Yeah.
That they could just change anything in a
leading
session.
No, but a testament to how great A Star is Born was
yeah.
technically that... Part of me just wants to say, maybe they were singing live. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
I mean, that's
yeah.
how convincing. Like, was Gaga singing live? Was that a live mic?
Because,
yeah. my God, it was amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
She just is.
And come on, in the drag club with his guitar, wasn't he singing?
Yeah.
And, you know, he said in an interview when he came out to sing in that scene, Gaga gave him some advice and said, don't try to sing it so much. Maybe speak it.
Oh.
And so Oprah was saying, so her advice to you was not to sing. But he said it made it so much better. And that was so beautiful. It was so intimate because that's the way he sang
so
it.
So she deserves a director's credit.
That's when it's not quite a credit.
She's the director.
It's not quite a credit.
When a director is directing himself, he needs a director for his scenes when he's being directed.
Can we do the rest of the podcast like this?
It's all more fun.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's horrible. But yeah, so we got through
Oscars.
The sounds,
Oscars.
Mixing and editing, and then song, original song,
four,
no one can go wrong.
Can
there.
I say something about original songs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Original song, the one from Mary Poppins, the Lost, Where the Lost Things Go.
The one you thought was too long.
How? No, that wasn't that one.
Oh, it was the one.
Lost Things, when Bette Midler sang that, I lost it. That
dude,
was so beautiful. I'm like, that should be at
job.
Every memorial, every
National
funeral.
Treasure.
That was just incredible.
She
and also,
she's still
yeah.
vibing too. I was like, oh man, she's still.
But Heather had the point that that wasn't the best song from that film.
No.
But the guy who wrote it, apparently, like, this is his time to get his Oscar or not.
Oh, really?
I want to get his name right.
Oh, song, I think, is up here, no?
Some original song.
No, don't.
Original song, here we go.
Okay.
I missed that one.
That's Marta Shaman.
Yeah.
He's been around forever.
Yeah, so the guys, some of the guys at our party worked with him on that. And they were so hoping that he would get it.
Oh.
Because it might be his last chance at an Oscar. And it's, I think he might have.
Okay.
Now, now I could be making stuff up, whether he worked on the first one or not.
You can make things up.
But, they were so rooting for him. And I had not got how beautiful that song was until I heard it on its own. At the Oscars.
But you can't go up against the massive hit that people have heard.
Well, and also, like, hearing it beautifully performed at the ceremony is not what you're voting on.
That's true.
You know, you're voting on how it's used in the movie.
Mind blown! I want a pocket Heather.
You should keep Heather around.
I know, right? You'll know I've got one, because we'll be just walking around going...
Well, next time you're hiring a director, producer
right?
O'Brien.
That's right.
Next
That's
time
right.
we'll be here talking about
You
that.
Have access to this. You have access to these talents.
I love it.
And I just because I'm a nerd, I just want to add in that when a cowboy trades his spurs for wings.
For Buster Scruggs.
Buster Scruggs.
Yeah. That was a great performance too. Yeah.
I think I might have gone to the bathroom. I'm so sorry.
That's
so,
okay. That's
so the
what
next category is hilarious.
Musical.
No one got it right.
Which one?
And Black Panther won it. Original score.
Oh, score.
Original score, yeah. I was,
Miss Pick Black Panther for everything, didn't pick Black
what
Panther
did I
for
pick?
This one. You picked Isle of Dogs.
Oh, you know why? Because Kristen Baum, thank you, Kristen.
Oh, yeah, she was texting you during our prediction.
She said, that's what she said she thought was going to win.
So, Caroline, if you'd stuck with your Black Panther at all costs, you would have gotten an extra one for score.
I did love Black Panther.
And we were,
I did vote for...
I've got to watch it again because it won a whole bunch. You know what I mean? Like,
and
I feel like maybe I missed something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, one, we watched it so long ago because it came out a while ago. But it's also like I get wrapped up in that, just the entertainment of the movie was so fun. And I'm not watching it with like a, let me look at the costume, the art direction. It was kind of like I just got wrapped up in the movie itself.
Which just says something great about the movie,
it's
you
a great
know?
Movie.
There's
Wasn't
some movies you see and you're like, gosh, those costumes are great.
Yeah.
I mean, having not revisited it, I watched it a little more recently because... We didn't get to the movie theater when it was out, but we saw it as a screener, like, in the last couple months. And I think probably in January, sometime in January I saw it. So I saw it more recently, and having not, but still having not seen it since then, I still think I didn't love it because I think it was trying for, like, somewhere a tone between comedy and drama that it didn't quite hit that for me. You know what I mean? Like, because I love dramedies. Like, I love,
me too.
You know, like, The Skeleton Twins and The Family Stone and About a Boy, like, right? And
yeah.
And these, that, and, like, I love that genre and it makes me so happy, but I don't feel, it didn't feel, it felt, like, the tone didn't feel quite right to me because I think that they were going for that and, for me, like, missed it. And so I don't think I loved it as much as, you know, like, it just had an unusual tone and voice to it that I didn't win me over. So, but I'll, like I said, I'm probably going to watch it again just to, like...
Well, it's like, there's a lot of movies, like, this year I thought Vice and Green Book were, like, good performances, but not great movies.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I was, like, Vice was too long and a little boring.
Vice was
kind of
boring.
No, I mean, I loved it.
But if they just cut out about 15, 20 minutes out of the third act, it might have sung.
I wouldn't have cut anything. In fact, I would have added more in.
Yeah.
I thought they missed a lot. And I thought...
Well, that's always hard when you're doing any kind of bio.
Yeah.
You can't squeeze everything into one movie. You know?
Yeah, biopics are tough because a person's life doesn't have a first, second, and third act.
But I also wanted to see more.
I do that 2 hours.
What are the ramifications when your father is that powerful and he stands against your own human rights? Like, what is it like to be his daughter and go out in public and your own friends or your own
partner?
And that
story was only part of the movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
it
wasn't... But all you saw was her crying, but I would have liked to have seen the ripple effect in her life of that, because that's...
Sounds like a whole other movie.
Yeah, and then...
It does. That's another movie.
And then the sisters never... And I would have liked to have seen that they never reconciled, not just something come up on the screen at the end. Like... I think that would have given you the real impact of when a leader behaves that way.
Yeah.
What happens to people in society, you know?
Yeah.
But that wasn't the point of the movie either. I mean...
What do you think the point of the movie was?
I don't know. That was my...
I think it was to show... for me,
yeah.
The point of the movie was this guy's impact on the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was one of the lasting impacts that he had in the world because
it was a
warning.
How he took the vice presidency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It felt like
a
warning to me.
The cool part of the story, but there wasn't like even really a huge point to it. Just like, this one guy could have so much power and okay.
No, you saw the birth of Fox News. You saw everything that's the reason that we have the president we have now. All the institutions that were put in place back then and with Nixon, and this is the result. Like, that blew my mind. And if that's not when you study the crucible when you're in high school because you're supposed to think about how that impacts, like, I just thought it was such a... We'll learn it now.
What Adam McKay does as a filmmaker is really
he's amazing,
and I think that's what this was an example of, like, how he is, it's activism through filmmaking.
Yes.
In a way that, like...
Really subtle way, for sure.
Yeah, and it's... But at the same time,
really picking a side strongly.
I disagree.
I think he's very strong.
Picking a side.
He does it strongly, but not insultingly.
Yeah,
I think the other side isn't completely repulsed by
it.
But I love the end when they're saying... When they're doing that, you know, the test group, the marketing group... That they get into that fight, you know.
Well,
you have a movie based on facts, and then is that a leftist movie?
Right.
That was just the perfect way to end it.
If you look at the two films, like, look at, like, Black Klansman and the way that ended, which I thought was, like, talk about, like, you know, beating somebody over the head with the message, which I didn't dislike.
Yeah.
I didn't dislike it at all. That felt good, but, like, if I was on the other side of that spectrum, I would be, like, offended.
Yeah.
Two white male friends tell me they felt beaten over that end of that felt like they were being beaten over the head, and that ruined the movie for them. And I was so shocked because that was one of my favorite parts of the movie. I sobbed the whole way through it, and I came out wanting to do something.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I find it really interesting that that can be so.
So they're a little prejudiced, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's just like the kneeling of the football players. When a white male feels that criticism of racism is directed at them,
yeah,
that means they got a little bit in them.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be judgy because, you know,
yeah.
because for James and I, we watched it and we were like, oh, man, that's the truth. Like, I'm not insulted by it.
A teacher just got told to take down her Colin Kaepernick poster for Black History Month. I'm like, if this is not
Black History Month.
Yeah.
It's the shortest month of the year. Shut up.
Jeez.
Let her put up her poster.
A few
poster.
More days and the month will be over.
Oh, God.
But, yeah. I don't know. The whole Colin Kaepernick thing, that's a whole other story.
But, by the way, Black Klansman, I just want to say that... I love that film. I think I said it before, and I picked it to win a lot of things.
Yeah, it did
because
win a lot
I kind of felt like they were going to finally
acknowledge Spike.
Yeah,
he did get an Oscar for screenplay.
And, yeah,
but
I think that Black Panther.
Are we going
like
this
with
one
score?
Now?
Like with score? No, but I mean, score went to Black. I
yeah.
picked Black Klansman for score.
It was a great
and Black
song.
Panther
for,
got score, and I feel like Black Panther
was
like,
a safe choice.
Yeah, like a lot of the white Oscar voters were like, well, let's roar Black Panther instead of Black
Panther. As somebody who just watched it again and was listening to the score this time, the Black Panther, I mean, I was listening to it the first
mm-hmm.
time, but really listening for it this time, it does do what I noticed that I didn't notice on the... Because in the first time, I noticed that it incorporated... cultural songs from the culture of like Wakanda and that part of the world. But what I did notice this time, which is super cool, is that after the bad guy takes over Wakanda, they incorporate the hip hop noises, which is I thought was a really cool thing. That like while T'Challa was in charge, it was all the Wakandan music and all the like indigenous music sounds of that. But because he grew up in Oakland, in Wakanda, scenes in Wakanda, when he was in charge in Wakanda, the music now incorporated the hip-hop sounds from Oakland, which was, like, such a cool, I thought, choice for score.
And even the way that he went and got indigenous musicians to help him create the score from different places all over Africa...
Yeah.
And the way that he blended those was really powerful. Like, that's a lot of work. That's not just watching and composing.
Because the score was... For me, what the score was doing was also creating the place, just the way that production design and art direction
and all that.
It was this through the music, he was also telling you, this is where we are in this scene, which I was like, I don't think you see that in music a lot. And I was really impressed.
I
really
love that too.
Liked that.
I think
I'm okay with it winning. I was just trying to make the point that
I'm sorry.
I was just trying to make the point that
it was a
white thing. Guilt
yeah.
that might have rewarded the heck out of Spike that year. Got spread among two films instead of one. Like Moonlight got the white guilt vote once.
But
this time Spike Lee didn't get the white guilt.
But I didn't think Moonlight won because of a white guilt.
I don't either.
I thought it was.
I thought 12 Years a Slave
that.
Did.
Oh, that's actually the one I wanted to
12
name.
Years a Slave
that's
was
what I wanted
totally
to
a white
to
guilt win.
No, I can handle it. Look, we all know I'm a half century old and I say the wrong thing sometimes.
We all say the wrong thing sometimes.
But
I'm like an expert.
Because I don't want a movie to win because of white guilt, even if it is Spike Lee, and even if it is, he's worked his butt off and has earned it. I don't want it to win because of white guilt, because then you've got 12 Years a Slave again. I want it to be a Moonlight win, which is like it won. It had a diverse cast and diverse creators, and
it was
a
great message
movie.
It
but
was
you are not at all you are not the average Academy voter is not at all represented by you.
I'm kind of
judging them.
Yeah, I do wish that the best movie would win, but it's also subjective.
Yeah,
yeah, it's always
subjective. So hard. It's
you
like,
feel free to judge the Academy voters because I'm not one yet. So
after Caroline, too,
like
we have to be
it'll
more
be
careful.
Soon.
It'll be better
no,
when it'll be better when you are. But.
Yeah, because it'll be the future.
So the shorts we didn't do well on animated. But animated, I'm really mad because the only one I'd seen was Bao.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it on the list. So I
went
with you guys and But I will. Animal Behaviors Pixar? Okay, I'll do that.
You know what the worst part was? Is that I didn't realize that I'd seen it until, like, the awards. And then when I was doing my votes at the thing, I was like, oh, definitely that one's going to win. So
yeah.
I actually picked it.
At your party.
Night. Yeah, but
yeah.
Because I didn't realize that I had seen that. I was like, that's
but
the most adorable
thing. But doesn't that say something
ever.
About the movie if you guys both forgot you'd seen it?
I was lazy. I didn't even look at the list. I thought, I haven't seen any.
No, but
well,
I wonder if it's before
I don't
word,
remember
so you
seeing
didn't
the
get
title.
Up on the list.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? If
I
they were like about. Little dumpling kid, I would have been like, oh, yeah, I saw that one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I remember the title.
I mean, when she eats...
It was so
the
metaphoric,
baby
like a beautiful little metaphoric little film.
I have to
like
check
that.
It out. I haven't
you seen it. Oh, so good. Well, it was at the beginning of Incredibles, right? Is when they showed it.
Was it
Incredibles 2?
Yeah.
I thought it was something earlier.
Which
here.
I haven't seen.
No,
either.
It was Incredibles 2. I'm pretty
it was
sure.
Incredibles 2, okay.
But it was so wonderful of a little...
But I mean, it gave you a real shock, too.
Oh.
Like, for a Pixar film, to
yeah,
like,
it was
shock
like, whoa.
You. Because the mother, like, when the kid gets too independent, the mother just goes... And
she makes
hours
a dumpling.
Child.
Like she makes a little dumpling, and she's a dumpling, and she makes a little baby dumpling. And
it's a metaphor.
It is a metaphor.
He actually lived.
Yeah, and then she makes this little like baby, and then she like care, and he's like reacting, and she raises him and loves him and coddles him, and he's her everything. And then he kind of grows up and becomes more independent. And she's still like, oh, you're my baby. And then he like starts to want to leave, and then
gets a white girlfriend.
Yeah, and then she like eats him. And you're like, what just happened? And
yeah,
then they become real people, and then you see that he's got a girlfriend, and
yeah.
he's like going to get married, and,
yeah.
and so she's like letting him go. And
they teach.
So it's metaphoric,
and they teach,
obviously.
It's a great metaphor about parenthood.
Yeah. That you do all this
it
stuff.
It's like a dangerous metaphor
yeah.
about parenthood, but
yeah.
I haven't seen it.
No,
I haven't seen
it
either.
It was shocking. It was shocking.
Don't
yeah.
eat your children. Don't
yeah,
try
it was
to
great.
Time.
I mean, just the fact that
yeah.
the Pixar higher ups. Let her make that film, I
yeah.
think, was, or backed it, you know, was,
yeah.
Yeah, and you should be happy, female film, female written and directed film.
I love that. We all should be happy.
Women are underrepresented in animation, big time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the...
So, live action short.
Live action short. That was Skin, right, yeah. What's
but can I just say, wasn't it Pixar that let John... Is it John Lasseter?
John Lasseter got hired.
So when you
did
talk
they?
About... When,
he harassed the hell out of everyone for decades.
Was he at Pixar and then they let him go and now he's gone to somewhere else and...
He got hired for something and that's why Emma Stone
Emma,
quit the...
Emma
not
Thompson.
Emma Thompson
yeah.
quit
left.
The project.
But
yeah.
I think he might have been at Pixar. I think that's where the problems were. But these are reasons why you don't have women sticking
yes.
it out in these places because it's... Who wants to be harassed on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Not only did he harass, but he would keep younger women out of meetings, joking that, like, oh, she's distracting, she's too pretty, I can't focus if she's in the room.
Oh, my God.
So then how do you end up promoted when you're not part of the important creative meetings?
Oh, my God.
And it
God,
changes what
so
happens
mad.
In a meeting, too. If those young women are not present and their voice is not heard, it changes
yeah.
the direction of the company as well.
Yeah.
The articles about what it was like to work at Pixar as a woman break your heart because... The films are so wonderful.
I know. Like, you think about Pixar, and it's like, okay, this is, the stories are going in the right direction,
yeah.
and, you know,
yeah,
you hear that legendary
that your politics
story.
Don't reflect your personal.
Yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
the politics in Pixar were often really quite good.
Yeah.
And it was being made by a guy who thought it was cute and funny to comment on everyone's boobs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who
it's
won?
Important.
So Short?
So Short, yeah. Skin won, of course.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
That was the one you wanted
that's
to win.
That's the one I
you
wanted to
win. You hadn't seen it,
I'm
but
so
you were like,
yeah,
she
him.
Yeah, and what's his name? Was it a Mike Fallora?
Yeah, he's in it for a yeah, hot second. Yeah, and he's in their feature, too.
So what was the next one?
So next category is we finally get to documentary, which none of us got it right.
The short documentary was the period film.
Period, end of sentence.
I love
that's
it.
Exciting.
I want to see it. I haven't seen it. I'm so excited that we're
those
talking
are all hard
about
to find
this.
Too. Like,
yeah.
Hard to watch.
I know, the Lemley didn't have it.
Are you talking
year.
About periods or the films?
The short documentaries.
They're hard to find them.
They're hard to find. They're hard
yeah.
to watch because usually if you watch mainstream media, most people think we bleed blue.
Yeah.
I could show you the app. I could tell you when it's come. The next one's coming.
That's amazing. I could show you my app, too.
It's just funny. She asked me, wait, when's my period coming? And then I have to check the app and tell her.
Oh, my God.
Which one won the documentary?
documentary feature.
Feature
was
Free
Solo.
Connie one, yeah.
Free Solo.
Yeah,
and that
I heard
was
a lot
such
about
a.
It.
I really wanted.
We were 0 for 4 on both of those.
Yeah.
I really wanted Ruth to win.
Yeah.
I wanted our
that was actually
Fred Ginsburg,
really good.
Abby G. But when they got up, I was like, who gives a shit about some guy climbing a mountain? And then when they got up, it was such a diverse cast, I shut my mouth.
Yeah, but
well,
I was shocked.
Somebody in my husband's on my husband's sketch team went to high school with the climber, the free soloist, he said, and then somebody else on my husband's sketch team, she does PR for the Hollywood sign, and she had to talk to him on the phone and yell at him for climbing it. So like there's like all these degrees of separation. But they said, he said, yeah, he's kind of, an odd dude, you know, like, I mean, I haven't seen it, you know, I don't know.
I thought that to me, I didn't see them all, but I did see a documentary this year that just rocked my world. And it was about the triplets.
Oh,
yes.
That was amazing.
Perfect Strangers.
Perfect Strangers, yes.
Yes.
That one, like,
Three
moved
Perfect
me.
Strangers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that HBO?
No, I saw it at the movie. But yeah, I was disappointed that one didn't get nominated.
But did Netflix put it in theaters? Was it in theaters for 2 weeks?
I actually saw it at the theater.
Okay.
At the theater. Okay,
I saw
cool.
I think it was
that's
HBO
Netflix
in the end. When it went online. I think it was. I watched it on a plane. And it was. I was half asleep.
I saw
it I couldn't stop.
Lovely
yeah.
Five.
I thought it was being. Is it? Was it HBO or Netflix?
I don't know. I feel like it was Netflix, but
what was it called?
Three Perfect Strangers. Yeah, but I saw it at the Lemley in Encino, and I was looking for things to watch on my movie pass before it went away, and I saw that was playing, and then I watched a trailer, and I was like, oh, we really want to see that, so we went and saw it, and I was so pleasantly surprised. Because I won't normally go see documentaries.
It's true.
Three Identical Strangers.
Three Identical Strangers, yeah. Okay, so we're wrong. Well, the next two are easy. We can even skip them because Best Foreign Language Film, of course, we were 4-0.
Yeah.
We're all
Roma.
Perfect because we all know Roma.
I did call. I had some friends trying to tell me that Roma was going to win Best Picture. And I told them they will not give them foreign film
and
best picture. It just won't happen.
Yeah.
They're like, oh no, but this is different. This is a different scenario. I said, nope.
Yeah.
They won't do it. Why would they do that?
They're
going to get Cold
War
and not win best picture.
It's not
also, why aren't Australian films in the foreign language?
Are those considered
film?
Foreign?
Well, you can't understand me lots of the time.
Huh?
Foreign language and what was the other one?
And then animated feature for Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse!
Everyone knew it was going
to
win.
This.
Yeah.
Everyone knew it was going to win.
Basically,
even though
if it didn't win, I was going to set something on fire.
Yeah.
I was like, that movie
was
such
an achievement.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So good.
Exciting.
So yeah, Spider-Verse was awesome.
Yeah, Spider-Verse.
So then we go to adapted screenplay.
And which one was this?
Black Klansman won.
Oh my god,
Caroline,
I was so happy.
It.
I was so happy when Spike Lee got up there and he jumped up on Samuel L. Jackson. Like, it made me so happy. He has been making world-changing movies for his entire life, and someone was telling me at our Oscars party, he could never get funding. He could never get funding, and he would have to ring around and try and get funding from, and he was using all of his contacts that he possibly could to try, but none of the big studios would ever give him funding because he's a man of color. And that just infuriates me.
Well, he's not apologetic either.
Yeah, I think I can see, I mean, definitely they should be giving him more consideration than they have, but I also can see, the kind of work that he does. I can see if it's a studio that's concerned about, butts in the seats and, not offending anybody, then Spike Lee's not the way you want to go.
But did Black Klansman do well?
It did well, but
it
wasn't a blockbuster.
Yeah.
It was so good. It was so good. I was so pleased that he won. I thought it was so well written. I thought it was such a big story to tell, and the way they told it was really beautiful.
Well, you know what's funny too is he's made so many great movies, and every time when it was coming up with Black Klansman, people would start naming their favorite Spike Lee movie. But then everybody had a different one.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of interesting. I was like, you know, some people were like, oh, Do the Right Thing. Or,
but Do the Right Thing, I knew that it missed out on an Oscar to Driving Miss Daisy, which again is magical Negro and white savior, all in one. And I heard a really great interview the other night, and the guy was saying that it's because there was never, African-American people were not represented to be able to write their own stories, so they're white people writing what they know about black people that they barely know.
Yeah.
And so this is the only thing they know about them, is this whole, let's make it a magical Negro myth, and let's make it, you know...
And it's not just black people, because I posted about how upset I was about Green Book, and my mom commented, like, well, why did Nicolas Cage need to be in Wind Talkers? The story about Wind Talkers is indigenous people in the armed forces. Why is Nicolas Cage there? You know, so it's not just... It's just people of color
and,
in general.
And also Emma Stone in... What was that movie? She played a Hawaiian person. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she apologized at the SAG Awards or something. Someone said something about it. She went, I'm sorry. Like, she yelled it from the audience.
It's... Yeah, that was, like, just... I mean... Really unfortunate. I guess Cameron Crowe based it on somebody that he knew, that a person that, like, looked white but could not stop mentioning that she was Chinese. So, but unfortunately, like, for people who don't see it, for people who, you know, don't really know that person, like, it's just, it was just, you shouldn't have done it. It just wasn't going to work out.
The thing that sucks is, too, is that's how, like, a lot of times they get these movies made. Like, you're talking about funding. It's like, if you attach somebody to it, then it gets made.
Well,
like Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Which is,
which is a really good movie, and it got really ripped for casting Scarlett Johansson as not an Asian female, but as a robot, and so they may change the robot's race.
Yeah, and the Ridley Scott thing that he did about Egypt. Now I can't even remember what it was called, but he cast only British people as Egyptians.
Oh, was that with
Christian Bale and
Joel Edgerton? Jake Gyllenhaal, was he in it as well?
No. That's I know what you're. Prince of Persia. That's way back. No, it was more recent. Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton, more recent than the Kingdom movie. I know which one you're talking about too. Christian Bale and Joel Edgerton. It was a Ridley Scott movie, and it was about, like, the I'm completely blanking on names, but it was like this: the two brothers in Egypt that, like, fought for control of.
Oh, you're talking about the
Hostiles? The Promise?
No.
The one about Ramses.
Yeah, Ramses.
Exodus, Gods and Kings.
Exodus.
Yeah.
Also, can I just ask why in Les Mis are all the French people Cockney?
So anyway.
The French Revolution was about Cockney people?
It was.
British people?
They're the ones revolting because they're like... No,
they should have been in England.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been in France. This is the problem.
But, sorry, back on track. Black Klansman winning Best Adapted Screenplay. Not my favorite, but it was great and, like...
I know. Sadly, I'm glad that Spike Lee won.
Yeah.
I just really wish that Bradley Cooper would have won, because I felt like that was the only one they would have gave him. But
for a screenplay?
Yeah, because the movie still well would have been, too. But actually, my favorite writing...
If Spike Lee didn't get anything, I wouldn't have watched the Oscars again. I would have been so angry. I would have been out.
Like,
I wouldn't have collected my Oscar.
The anger would have subsided after 12 months.
I would have...
I'm glad he won, because, like, it's like, come on, already, like...
Yeah. And I thought, I knew Do the Right Thing lost out to Driving Miss Daisy, but what I didn't know is it wasn't even nominated.
No, it wasn't nominated.
It wasn't, not at all.
Oh, really?
Not for Best Picture.
No.
That had to be, like, I mean, I'm getting ahead of our discussion. I have something...
You want to go on that one? You can. We're almost there.
Well,
although
that must have been like a really painful repeating of history, because everybody's comparing Green Book to Driving Miss Daisy.
Yeah, again,
and Do the Right Thing was the same year as Driving Miss Daisy, and here's Spike Lee again with this something that says, excuse me, a powerful statement about black and white relations versus this.
Magical Negro.
Yeah, white person
white
driving,
save, yeah.
You know, white person saving a black person. Like, I just can't, from what I hear, when Green Book won, he, like, stormed out.
He got
out
and left, and he couldn't get out of the auditorium.
Like, yeah, because they wouldn't let him out, so he just stood with his back to the stage, I guess. I mean, that had to be so painful. So it's like, I mean, I don't think that my personal pick wouldn't have been Black Klansman, but I mean, I'm just feeling for him. Like
that, it went to that was the only one that would have been an insult to him to win. And
well, that's what won. It was an insult. It was an insulting win.
Yeah.
Not as much to him personally as it was just an insulting win. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was insulted.
I'm also well. I mean, I hope I'm not getting
and not
too much
to
into
race.
Yeah.
Not getting too much into Best Picture, but a lot of people were talking. I had some friends talking about, like, well, Octavia Spencer produced it, and now
yeah.
a woman, female, black woman, won
yeah.
best, won an Oscar.
I was so happy
thing.
For her while
she
was up there.
Like,
on
isn't
stage.
She like the first producer to win Best Picture who's a black female?
That's what I hear, and it's but it's like I'm also kind of like, but everybody's talking about how you didn't even talk to Dr. Shirley's family.
Yeah,
like, I'm kind of like, so why did you do this? Like, why did you... I'm kind of... Like,
well,
actually,
I can speak to that, but
yeah.
I'd rather not yet.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
our next topic
yeah,
is original screenplay, which, of course, none of us picked Green Book.
Right.
Three of us picked Favorite. Caroline went with Vice.
And apparently, the statistic shows that every single year, the movie that wins Best Picture either wins one of the two writing categories.
Yeah.
Really?
Every year. So,
but how could it be Best Picture without the best script?
Right.
Yeah.
So whether it's adapted or original, you can know, you basically know 50-50.
Something to keep in mind for next year.
So yeah, when
saying.
You see, like, you said, oh, okay, Black Klansman won and Green Book. So one of those movies is winning Best Picture.
You
Jeez.
Are a fucker. And can
you
I just say, as a person who loves the art of writing,
right,
and particularly screenwriting, but all writing, Green Book getting Best Original Screenplay
it's shocking.
Is almost a worse pick than Best Picture.
Aside from the racist problems with that movie, we've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
This story is, like, so old.
Yeah.
It's
I'm
such
flapping
old
my
term.
Arms because... I can actually argue that the racialness of it, I don't have a problem. I can accept that it's a film about a white racist guy in 1962 learning that black people are okay by spending time with one
yeah.
for the first time. Fine, that's your story. It wasn't well written
no.
about that story.
Great acting. I mean, that's
great acting.
Well, the actors did. Sold a bad script.
I saw it. I really liked it. As a and I'm
you
white,
like
or
it.
I really liked it. I cried, I laughed, I left, and I was
yeah.
like, "Whoa!" I feel really good for seeing that movie. And then I woke up a little, and I researched a little, and I was like, "Oh, holy!"
See,
moly.
I don't think that's fair, actually.
Yeah,
but
I think it deserves to be appreciated for what it is because there actually are racist white people, and every once in a while, one of them meets a black person and realizes, "Oh, I'm." There's
the
more
thing,
to
though,
life than skin color.
Here's the thing, though. That's all that's been rewarded before now. And
yeah.
and that's the only way these stories are being told.
Right.
And I get really annoyed. I read a meme the other day that said, it was relieving to realize I don't hate all female characters. I just hate the female characters that are written by men who hate women.
Yeah.
And I remember being like a young 24-year-old actress and being in a class and making a choice and my male teacher told me, no girl thinks like that.
Oh, my God.
And I shut up. I was like, oh, my gosh, there must be something wrong with me that I would think like that. And I for years I was thinking, wow, why do I think like that? Why does no other woman think like this? There must be something wrong with me. And then I realized as a woman, oh my God, he
yes.
just has no idea how women
know.
Think.
Yeah.
And who was he to tell me how a woman thinks?
And he felt he could.
Yes. And so I thought he could. That's
yeah.
That's what our society is. So when I realized that, when I come out of a movie like that and I'm like, I would be furious if the only women's stories were told from men's point of view. Like when I see a woman tell a woman's story, I can feel it. When I see a man tell a woman's story, I can usually feel it, and it usually irritates me.
Have you seen this terrific speech that Reese Witherspoon gave?
Yes!
Where she talks about in every script written by a man, a woman
says,
what are
we going to
do? What do we do now?
But what can we do?
And
what will we do?
Have you seen this? And she talks about how, like, no woman would
ever say that.
And when you're in a crisis, like when you're teaching kids what to do, find a woman. A woman will know how to fix it.
Your girlfriends, when you go to them and you've got an issue, no one ever says, what are we going to do? Your mum never says what... Your girlfriends will always say, this is what we're going to do.
And I saw that speech. I apologize, but I want to talk about this.
It's fine.
It's a glamorous speech, if you want to look it up.
That's right, glamour. So I saw that speech, and then the last Avengers movie, the Danai Gurira, that her character in that movie, like, the bad guys show up, and she turns to someone and says, "So what do we do?" And she is the leader of the guard, the people that guard the king. Like, that's her job, is military strategy.
Also, she's like Michonne.
Her character turned to someone and said, "So what do we do?" And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, number one, woman wouldn't say that. Number two, that's her whole job. That's her whole job.
It's like a surgeon opening up a patient and saying, what are we going
to
do?
It's crazy to me.
You know, when, I've said it before, but when we're, you know, 40 years from now, it's my hope that my grandkids will look at films of this era.
Yeah.
And they'll see the representation of women the same way we look at the films of the 50s.
Yeah.
And how they represented black people. Less, I mean, we're still not very good at representing black people. But, you know, when you see a film from the 50s and, you know, the...
When you see that one that's...
You see Gone with the Wind and you see how black people are portrayed in Gone with the Wind. It's
Or you see blackface in old movies and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah. But
which Spike Lee made a brilliant film.
Yeah.
About blackface.
But as far as, like, what you were saying...
Olivier playing Othello.
Yeah. But as far as what you're talking about with Green Book and screenplay, like, it's like, so, like, what I agree with what you're talking about, that being evaluated on its merit without the research, without, like, you know, the blogs and everything, being evaluated on its own merit, we watched it and we were like, okay, I laughed. Like, there were some very genuinely funny parts. There were some good scenes. But at the end of it, I was like, it was nice.
The pacing wasn't perfect. The dialogue wasn't perfect.
I enjoyed it.
The three-act structure wasn't perfect.
I enjoyed it as, like, entertainment. But then I was kind of like, eh.
Exactly.
You know, I felt a little, like, whatever. Like,
listen, if he had have tweeted out something to Donald Trump that was some call to arms against our Muslim brothers and sisters, and then he won this award, I would be upset. Oh, hold on, I'm upset.
Yeah. Yeah.
An idealist, but, like, there could be a racist, anti-Muslim, hateful person who still could write a good script. This just wasn't a good script.
I just felt like The Favourite was the best written movie of the year.
Yeah.
Easily.
I did not think that.
I know. And that's the part where, with the comment you just said, like, a few minutes ago, I thought was funny, because you said that you could tell when a man wrote something, and your gripe about The Favorite was that it felt like a man's point of view of what
he wanted. It was written by a man and a woman.
It was, by both. But, like, you can't decipher which one wrote which part.
Oh, I think I can.
Well, I know you think you can. But, like, to me, it was the best written movie of the year.
I would give anything for you to watch The Favorite again. Because after discussing it with you,
just tell yourself a woman.
Because you realize how little sex there is, and how intelligent these women are.
And nobody ever said, "What should we do?"
Nobody says that at all in that movie.
I loved the performances in that. I thought they were incredible. There's so much about that movie I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
To me, I felt like it was wonderful actors benefiting from great writing.
Yes.
Because I mean,
I thought it was wonderful actors. Wonderful actors.
Because it was
and
so
I'm not
going to
say anything about the writing, because
so
I stole
good.
The writing for the remake.
That's true.
Yes.
Every line is something that was written in the real film.
So mad when I look at the fact that. Then again, I was mad. Well, you guys will disagree with me on that. But best original screenplay often goes to a piece of shit, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was really mad the year that Memento was beat out by that Drawing Room movie. Now I can't... My mom brain is completely embarrassing.
You mean one of the Mammoth ones?
It was the guy who did Downton Abbey. And then... He had written...
Howard Zinn?
No, it was...
Yeah, you're supposed to know.
It's got
what
Clive Owen in it. It's got... No, it was... Because it was about, like turn of the century British house servants.
The Remains of the Day?
Rent a Period.
Howard Zinn?
No, it wasn't. It was, because it was like an ensemble cast. It was a big cast.
Yeah.
It started, it has a J in it.
J.
I'm fired. I'm so fired.
So it was nominated for 2002. So.
Okay.
I Google that. Clive Owen period movie.
I'm not getting any clues. So actress.
Best supporting actress.
You won.
Regina
King.
The
she
only
was
one
so
who picked her.
Good. And I still say that music in If Beale Street Could Talk is so beautiful. And she was... Have you guys seen it yet?
Not yet.
No, that was the one.
She
I
was so incredible.
It.
There's a scene, and you'll know when you see it, when she's standing
it,
by a wall. Oh, my God.
It.
She was...
Bless you.
Thank you. She was magical in that film.
Yeah.
They all were. That it was a beautiful, beautiful film, and I think the most real portrayal of people falling in love I've ever seen on film.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm excited to see it. That said, I am sad that Rachel Weisz didn't win.
I knew she was
going to
be canceled out, but
I heard her
so
much.
Yeah, we picked her.
I have a big crush on her.
Yeah, she's great, but she got canceled out by her own castmate.
I don't know that. I mean, for me, I still. I mean,
if I'm a voter, and I want to. If I'm going to pick one of them, you're like, oh.
But Emma Stone already has.
And
one.
I would still argue that she was the lead, and Olivia Colman was
right.
supporting.
Was the same thing. I
think by based on screen time.
I believe.
Was
honestly,
Marshall Ali really a supporting? I thought he was a leading.
Yeah, well. Yeah.
Regina King deserved it over.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it yet, so you may.
I
wish I
had.
But I'm saying like. I'm ready to agree with you. I haven't seen it. However, I just love Rachel Weisz so much.
Yeah.
I think she's fantastic in so many things.
Yeah.
And, like, I've had a crush on her since, like, The Mummy. Like,
yeah.
I just think
she's amazing.
Just an amazing actress and presence. And so I'm bummed. But I'm happy for Regina.
You're going to be so excited when you see Regina.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait. Supporting actor.
Supporting actor.
No, I thought I was a little
I
sad.
I could not believe it because, and I love. Look,
yeah, I thought for sure that I'm going to give it to him again.
There are
it
two Muslim actors that have ever been nominated for an acting Oscar.
That's, no, just one.
And
no,
it's the same
it's
guy.
Twice
same
it's
guy.
Happened.
Oh,
same guy.
No, but
there's twice that a Muslim actor has won an Oscar. Same guy. Like, so that's not going to change the voting necessarily. But I was, and if you've heard him. Rap, like he's a hip hop guy.
Yeah.
If you see the way that he like steps into Remy Danton on House of Cards, he's so different to Moonlight. He's so different to. He is so incredible. I just think he's gonna.
True Detective. He was great.
I should have stuck. I should have stuck to my guns because he. Not that, but when I look at the list, Driver was amazing, but and Elliot was great, but it was a really small part. Richard
small.
E. Grant. That was more like a career. I mean, that
Richard
was a significant
Grant
film.
Was great.
And Sam Rockwell was amazing.
He was amazing. He should have...
But Mahershala Ali lifted that film to a higher level.
And Sam Rockwell won last year.
I didn't see Mahershala Ali in that character, like the Mahershala that I think of. He was so different. And same with Sam Rockwell. I kept forgetting it was Sam Rockwell. Like, I would have been happy with
like
either
does
of those winning.
The best Bush impersonation in
the He was
like,
just incredible.
He just does that all
amazing.
The time.
And there was, he had that, like...
But George Bush was a less important character in that film.
Oh, yeah, he was really...
So, Mahershala really took green, but, like...
He was a leading actor, I thought, in that film.
That was the...
It was like a... I would have seen them both be nominated for Best Actor.
Yeah.
And it was definitely told from...
Yeah, definitely from Viggo's
point of view, yeah. But, like, I felt like they shared the screen... You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think I think of him as like a supporting character.
No.
He was great, and I feel so good
great.
For him that he's won again. Like, and I just think that's
that's
so awesome.
And he'll have to keep auditioning.
I just wish it.
Yeah, didn't you say that he like kind of had to take this? Like
he can't
hard
pick
for
and
him.
Choose. Yeah,
it's
yeah
hard
I heard
him.
An interview with him just recently where
he
said he still can't pick and choose, and that he can't. Like, there's so many jobs that he goes for, and they will not let him play a bad guy because he's been told so many times, but you're such a nice guy. But he was a bad guy with heart.
Yeah,
but when he has to pay, like,
more complicated.
He's lost a lot of... He was talking about one role he lost out to 50 Cent because he said they brought in a non-actor that is like a rapper, a gangster kind of dude, because they don't see that, like... Actors of color don't have that ability to. They're not given that gift of saying, "Okay, Sam Rockwell, You can play George W. Okay, you know, normal build Christian Bale. You can play Dick Cheney. Like he said, you know, they'll put tattoos on.
Maybe more so for Bale than Rockwell, because he only gets to play dumb characters.
And now we break for 1 week so that I can take my mom to the emergency room and spend a week with my father while she's in the hospital. And now we're back.
All right, so who wants to start talking about best actress?
Olivia Colman won.
Yeah, and by the way, Caroline and Heather got that one right.
Yeah.
Jeff and
she
James,
was great.
Not so good.
What did you say? Who did you say?
We went with Glenn Close.
She did an amazing job, to be fair.
She was so understated.
Gosh. She.
The subtext throughout the whole movie, and then when she actually lost it, I was like, it was so worth it.
I wish she lost it more. Like,
I left
feeling angry because I still had, I was carrying her unresolved feelings.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she went back to, like, subtextual, like, which I was just like, she was just so good. Like, I mean, I was like, my favorite performance.
Yeah, she was great. But I loved Olivia Colman. I thought she was incredible.
She was fun.
She just brought so much. For me, like, I I had such sympathy and understanding for the character. It didn't feel like a character. Like, she made that Queen Anne in that stage of her life, she made her so real, and I just had so much, like, as I said, sympathy for her and what she was going through. Like, because, you know, the pitch and the premise, like, that you see in the trailers is that she's this crazy queen and, like, she's this royal who's lost it. But then you watch her performance and it's like, oh, my God, this poor woman has been through so much. Anybody would lose their mind. And she just brought a lot of nuance to it. I was really excited she won, but... the young woman from Roma was also it was another tough category.
She was great, and I loved Olivia Colman's speech. I thought it was hilarious.
Yes.
Though I wish she'd said something to the lady from Roma and Melissa McCarthy. How do we pronounce the Roma lady's name?
Yalitza.
She was so beautiful.
That's
the first time she's ever acted.
Yeah.
How crazy
is that?
At least
on film, right? Do you think she, like, had not even done a play?
No, I don't think she had.
That's crazy. Yeah, she was wonderful. So that was tough for me when I saw that she was nominated, but I was excited that Olivia Colman
won. I remember the first time I ever did any acting and was nominated for an Oscar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I love Melissa McCarthy. She was so good. Like, her
wonderful.
And Olivia Colman both... very
complex.
Yeah, and they didn't. They weren't self-conscious performances. They weren't worried about what they look like. They just put it all out there, and it was so juicy.
And Melissa McCarthy's performance, that role was like against type for her.
Yeah,
so it was really
a
great
time.
Yeah,
but that was the best performance I've seen her do.
She's so amazing. And then her and her husband rock up to the Vanity Fair party in matching Adidas tracksuits. and running shoes. I'm like, see, that is genius. I was thinking before the Oscars, could you wear, like, comfortable shoes if you got, like, helicopter dropped into the red carpet? Then you've got an excuse for wearing comfortable clothes and comfortable shoes.
So I interned at the Cannes Film Festival
right
after college, and I wore a nice pants outfit, and they would not let me into the screening because I was a woman in pants. So I think you can get away with it if you're famous, but if you're not, like, very famous.
Cannes famous for having their... And you think you have to wear heels, too, don't you, at Cannes?
The French are... they've
We're
got
the
different
world.
Rules, you
is
know?
Is that called standards, or is that called oppression? Because the men don't have that.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no, it's not
that.
I'm sure if a fellow intern...
Came in a dress.
If a guy came in jeans and a nice shirt, they'd send him away. I'm sure everyone working
It's not working the same
because
she's showing up in what the males would be allowed in.
That's true. Well, they let Trey and Matt of South Park wear dresses to the Oscars.
Right, but there's...
I know. I was just kidding around.
I don't think the Oscars have that.
You don't think
women have worn
no.
pants suits before?
Yeah.
And Julia.
Well, okay, but Diane Keaton did, though.
Diane Keaton
is famous.
Famous, that's true.
So if you're not famous, would they let you in?
I tried to get on the carpet with pants on, and they wouldn't let me on, but I wasn't supposed to be there.
I have a friend who was an accountant at Cooper's Librand who does, you know, that's the accounting firm that does the Oscar voting.
Yeah.
And so everyone working in his office, they were the seat fillers. Like, it was super strict what you had to wear to be a seat filler.
Yeah.
Because they don't want, you know, they want to keep the image going.
For those big pans, they don't want anybody to look trashy. Sorry.
But by the way, best actress. So now they really owe Glenn Close one, right?
Right.
Like
I don't know, Sheldon.
She needs more
like
than
that.
A lifetime achievement. They got to
give
her.
She does. She's Glenn Close.
Yeah.
Because I watched that show, Damages. That she was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She was so good on that. She was scary. She was really.
It made
good.
Me go back and want to watch Paradise Road. Did you see that? Mm-hmm. And Cate Blanchett was in that. I think that might have been her first big film. Or second big film, and it's about female POWs, and Glenn Close creates a choir in this POW camp, and it's so beautiful. She was so amazing in it, and I looked it up, and it's like got 49% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh no!
I was like, how is that?
Yeah,
possible?
But you can't. Rotten Tomatoes is
sorry,
pretty
tomatoes.
Corrupt, right?
Oh, is it?
Oh, it's tomatoes also.
Yeah,
because it's really dumbed down, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's
well,
an intelligent film.
They just had to
film,
change it because of Captain Marvel, that they were trying to, like, tank the ratings for
really?
Captain Marvel. Yeah, they
it's
had
such
to.
Such a good film.
You mean haters were?
Yeah.
Like the nerd, the Reddit guys?
Yeah, they were trying to, like, they were submitting false reviews. They hadn't seen the movie, but they were submitting bad reviews. And so they had to, like, change the way that they accept reviews because of that. Because they were trying to tank the movie.
Captain Marvel is so good. And Brie Larson is
she's
amazing.
So awesome.
Everyone must walk away in love with her from that film. She is the bomb.
Listen, I fell for her. So I fell for her in Room. But, like, even in Trainwreck, she was great. She was, like, a supporting
character. Oh, she was the sister.
In Trainwreck, and she was so great.
Yeah, she was
I remember from United States of Tara. When she
was... she was the daughter.
The daughter. That was,
yeah.
She was great.
She's amazing.
All right, well, the next subject, the next category is the easy, all four of us got it right, Rami Malek won for Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury.
A lot of people at my house were upset about that, but I thought, I mean, he committed, you know? He was like 100% in that role. He was joyous in it, you know?
If he hadn't been convincing, the movie would have sucked.
Yeah.
It lived
and died on him. It really did.
And what a weight to carry, that role.
Yeah.
Not only did he get into the part, but he also dated his co-star.
I know, right?
That's
and they were so sweet together in that film. Like, those looks, I was like, oh my gosh. And so I was so excited in that day in real life.
What do you Yeah.
You love the real life stuff.
Yes, I do.
When he addressed her in his acceptance speech.
He said her full name.
Full name. He's like, I'm in awe of you. I'm so in love with you. And everybody at my party was like, oh, better put a ring on that. That's
well,
not like
he
a
said,
commitment.
It's not
to
like
me.
He was proposing.
Yeah.
He said her full name. Like, he looked
and she was amazing in that film.
She was great.
She was so beautiful in that film. I thought they were going to give it to Bradley Cooper, though. I did think he might
I
get
wish.
Some kind of.
Well, you listed that as your.
A lot. And Christian Bale.
You
was
made Christian Bale your
phenomenal.
Favorite, and then you picked Rami.
Yeah. Christian, because I didn't think he would get it, especially because his speech at the last award he won was a little bit naughty.
Rami Malek's?
No.
No, Christian
no.
Bale.
Christian Bale.
Yeah,
oh.
He said, which psychopath can I play next?
Oh.
That's funny, though.
Brilliant. And very kind of put yourself in a firing line.
I mean, just
because not the kind
Dick,
of
he's calling Dick Cheney a psychopath.
Yeah. And
Cheney
then he listed off other psychopaths he could play, like Mitch
he's
McConnell.
He's played a lot. His whole life
yeah.
he's played psycho.
Yeah,
American Psycho is what broke him. Like,
yeah.
he might be evil. You never know.
Oh, he is. I mean, you've heard some of those recordings.
Yeah.
And
but the Terminator ones, I kind of have his
that
back,
one's fun,
right?
But yeah, but the one with his mom and his sister is pretty bad.
Oh, I haven't heard that.
But that happened within days of each other, though.
Oh, did it?
That's why he lost it on set, because his mom and his sister are, like, from what I understand, mom and his sister are, like, freeloaders, and they were, like, coming to ask him for money, because he's rich and famous now, and then, like, within days, like, it was, like, an altercation with, like, the cops and, like, this whole big thing. And then within days of that was when he had that incident on set. And so, like, I'm trying to be understanding because, like, that's, he had a lot on his mind, you know?
Yeah.
So, and people have also said that the DP that he yelled at has, like, a weird habit of, like, dancing around during the take anyway.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, he did walk right through
me.
The eyeline.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, it's just, you just don't do that. It's not professional.
For sure. But you also don't flip out for, like, 20 minutes on someone.
I flip out for 20 minutes if you know, if I ask for non-buttered toast.
I'll give you 25 if you've asked for it.
All right, well, the next subject, the next category, all three of you got it right, and I got it wrong. Director, you all picked Alfonso Cuarón, and I had this little dream that Spike Lee would finally get something.
I wish he got it.
No, and it doesn't help his case when, you know, he goes off to...
I know. I want to believe that was, like, hype. I want to believe that that's just more, like, prejudice against Spike.
No, it's true that it happened. He did go to leave the Oscars when he lost out. And I understand why he did,
and like,
I support him.
His line was very funny. Every time I lose to somebody driving someone around. Like,
yeah.
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
But here's so, to be completely honest, like, Spike Lee has, you know, an amazing breadth of work and, you know, has worked very hard and really tackled some really... issues. For me, though, I feel like Spike Lee, I feel like you can see the directing. You know what I mean? I think his style for me is like too...
It's like a signature.
Yeah.
For sure. It's like, oh, this Spike Lee movie. But I like that. I mean, I enjoy that part of it. Like, I enjoy being like, I'm in a Spike Lee movie. And
it was so
good. Yeah, just like when I see a Paul Thomas Anderson or I see a Wes Anderson or anyone with last name Anderson. Or a Cohen, but yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he lacks subtlety, and that might just be a taste thing for me, but, like, I don't get as upset when he doesn't take home, even though I feel for him in that he's worked very hard and come very close several times.
I feel like some of his movies are more subtle than others.
Yeah.
Like, this one definitely seemed on the subtler side.
I disagree.
Until the end.
Yeah, until the end.
But I was going to say that, for me, this was, like, maybe, fine, you don't give it to him, because this almost felt like Spike going, all right, I'm going to make the kind of movie you guys like. It's going to, like, they're going to let the white supporting actor kind of run away with it, and it's going to be about how white people can be good. I'm making a movie for y'all.
Yeah.
Give me an award. I don't know.
Do you think he let Adam Driver run away with the film?
Yeah. Rightly so. Best performance in there.
Oh, I thought that John David was just as good as him. I can't believe he didn't get nominated.
Well, we've talked about that a little bit. I don't feel like John David has the presence of some other actors.
I think some people were just annoyed that he got the role without auditioning.
Oh. Happens all the time, though.
They're friends, so, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a really... I love the film, but the truth is, I've kind of slid, as of late, into Camp Yorgos anyway.
I feel like with the other directors that were in that category, I mean, and the other...
I thought Bradley Cooper should have been nominated for...
Bradley Cooper did a wonderful job, wasn't even nominated, but Alfonso Cuarón's direction...
He did do a really great job.
It's amazing.
It is a beautiful...
Amazing.
And that he cast this unknown woman...
That's just what I was going
to
say. Directed her into an
Oscar-nominated
performance.
That's exactly it.
Oh, sorry, no, Alfonso. Oh, yeah, that's true. But
he was taking... a superstar who'd already done, like, a whole lot of training, like,
she was on American Horror Story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was very good.
She won for that, right?
An Emmy?
Yeah.
I think she did.
Or Golden Globes.
Yeah,
Golden Globe, that's what
it
was. Yeah, she won a Golden Globe, I think, for American
Horror Story. I'm not mad that Cuarón won, because he's, like, one of my I love his films. I think
he's a wonderful director.
He's
really
absolutely one of
but
the
it
best.
Would have been better had that happened if BlacKkKlansman had won Best Film.
Also, for me, just like you're saying, for me, Roma's not the film that he should win for, because Roma's the film where he, like, said, okay, I'm gonna beat you up for 2 hours and then, like, give you this amazing ending. I don't know. Okay, I'll
like...
Did you finish
him.
It, by the way?
No.
You still haven't finished it?
I'm I'm going to get there. To be fair, it's been a very busy couple of weeks.
Okay. You got to start from the beginning again.
Yeah. Oh, no. I can just start.
No, start from the beginning.
Netflix says I can.
I got to watch. Oh, I heard our interview with Yorgos, and Caroline is correct. The woman wrote the script. And then Yorgos and his writing partner took it and rewrote it.
Oh.
So your sense that it was kind of a masculine view of women, yeah, they probably, you are, I just want you to know that you are justified in seeing that.
Thank
because
you.
the woman's early draft, she was removed from the rewriting process. But he worked on it for 8 years.
Mm.
We don't know how much they kept or took out.
Yeah, well, he said that she wrote a really straight historical script, and then they took it and made it a Yorgos movie.
Interesting.
And I love that he's so irreverent in his approach to stuff.
Yeah.
But I did feel that, so thank you so much. And let's let women tell their own stories.
Yeah. Why not?
I'm all for that. And let everyone tell human stories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And talking about that, we're up to Best Picture now.
Yeah.
This is my most upsetting one.
Yeah, this Green Book, I mean... Because I think we started to talk about it a little bit, is that there's so many things wrong. Like, a lot of people are like, well, I liked the movie. And it's like, I watched it, and we, you know, we're watching a bunch of different movies at the same time because we had the screeners. And, like, we watched it, and we finished it. My husband and I both looked at each other, and we're like, okay. Okay. Like, a shrug movie. Like, I enjoyed it, but I'm not blown away or anything. And so it's like all of the... So just on merit, I'm like, it's not a Best Picture.
I loved it, and I came out, and I had been crying and laughing, and I was like, oh my God, it's such a great film. And then I realized, like, I learned a lot. And I'm that's the thing I'm glad about this for, is that I've learned a lot about the magical Negro trope and the white savior trope. And now that I've learned that, I will never sit through a movie like that again in the same way.
Yeah.
And of course I'm white. I love seeing myself up there as the hero. Oh, I would, but you know, I would do that too. Yeah. And it's kind of disgusting. And I'm really glad that, and
it's funny because nobody sees that. They're like, I mean, not nobody,
people,
but I mean,
see it more now. Like, I've had conversations and with
really
male friends, and at the beginning of the Oscars, they're like, ah, that's bullshit. And these are white male friends. That's bullshit, you know, this whole thing, you know, people are being too precious, people are being too sensitive. And I have seen them change their opinion over time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because there's been enough education about it.
Well, that happened to me. Like, my mom saw the Green Book, and she was like, I loved it. It was so great. Then I started telling her about the reasons why people are upset, and she didn't understand it at first. And then I started explaining more and more to it. And, you know, she started to understand. And as I'm explaining it to her, I'm, like, defending it as well. I'm like, you know.
No way! What?
Where I was like, but I mean, you know, it makes sense. It just, I feel like there's not an awareness of that. I feel like to most people, when they watch it, especially white people, they're watching it and they go, oh, this is a wonderful movie about change and about oppression and, you know, how people can learn to love and live with each other. Not like, oh, there's something wrong with this. Because then I think the first reaction is most people are like, well, it's a movie about racism and it's a good story. Like, what's the problem?
And it solves it.
Yeah.
That's my after school special argument.
Yeah.
That it's not a Best Picture film.
Yeah.
It's just...
And I think for me, it's like, I don't fault the movie for being itself. I don't, like, and especially because when you consider that, like, part of the reason it was written is because this is based on a true story. It's based on a real person and the screenwriter's dad and a real person and his real experience. But what I'm upset about is the Academy naming it Best Picture.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure did not deserve Best Picture.
Doesn't deserve it. And, you know, I look at the list of eight films this year.
I wish
year,
Black Klansman
and,
had a film.
And there's artistic merit to all of them in the filmmaking, in the art of filmmaking, in the work that the producers and directors and actors put into it.
Mm.
And Green Book is not an artistically...
Yeah.
Special film.
It's
well, they had
risky.
To get all those cars, the Yomi cars.
Yeah.
I always think, that's a
picture
big
cars
a
are like $300 a day, you guys.
And then driving down the street, like, the same car,
yeah.
Like, oh, that's
yeah.
a parking pass.
And, Yeah, there's so many missed opportunities.
I feel like with Best Picture, for me, I want it to be the best picture of the year. Like, the movie that I enjoyed the most, when I couldn't stop thinking about, when that moved me the most. And to me, that was A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
And then maybe second would be Bohemian Rhapsody. And like,
yeah, which I think if that was your pick.
Yeah. Which is, like, for me, it's like, okay, this was the best experience that I had going to a movie all year.
The movie you want to tell people, like, you got to go see.
You got to see this
movie. And both those films you just named. Yeah. There was something uniquely special about them artistically.
Yeah.
The filmmaking was solid.
And overall, I mean, they were commercial too. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I mean, there's a reason why Star Is Born is still at the movie theaters. You can still go see it. Like, it's crazy to me, like, that's still out there. Like, and, you know, when you talk about directing and stuff, like.
But that's also because it's commercial.
Right, for sure. And that's a huge part of it.
Yeah.
When they wanted to add that, what do you call it?
The popular film.
The popular film. I feel like. That kind of is
the
compass. Not always. I mean, there's been plenty of times where it was more of like an indie film was just like the best film. And that's what it is.
And it's interesting because I think we all maybe have different picks for what we would have liked to have won. My two favorites were The Favorite and Roma. Those were two that I would have been, was rooting for The Favorite like pretty much all of award season. And then I saw Roma and I was like, oh, shoot. You know what I mean? Like, now I'm not sure. But I those were, both of those were my favorites.
Yeah.
And those were both pretty artsy, but also, like, you know, like, and very different from each other, which is probably why I can't decide. Especially, I think especially Roma was, like, made a lot of really cool artistic choices, but also kind of, I think, made you feel good at the end, which you don't know about. Because you haven't finished it.
I'll get there.
Made you feel very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, I'm so excited to watching this now.
Yeah, Roma's a very special film.
Yeah.
And I left it at a really sad point, too.
Yeah, you need to finish.
Yeah. I totally will.
I'm not going to... I don't know where you stop, so I don't want to spoil the amazing...
She was in
when
a
when it
hospital.
Shifts into color and the fireworks display goes off.
Oh, no, I never saw color. She just... She was in the hospital.
The Wizard came out.
Oh, you saw the hospital scene? That's what I didn't want to spoil. But
so sad.
When the baby came back to life?
Yeah. No, what? Oh, you're going to break my heart again.
I'm being a jerk.
Oh, no.
I apologize.
No, you absolutely... Yeah, because it takes...
oh, my God. I mean...
Definitely finish.
Well, as someone from the future...
Yes.
I would have liked to see Black Panther because the more I move beyond, the more I first saw it as... a superhero movie, but the more I think about the costumes with Ruthie Carter's win, the more I think about, you know, the society that they built, that the customs that they draw from. It's so rich.
Well, I think
and the music won. And
except for the main character, the main character,
except for the story,
the story and the plot.
I don't mind that. And then, but the one I really would have liked to have won, and I would say we would be in the future now if it what did win, was Black Klansman. It was incredible. And I have heard people who are white friends say they were very angry at the end. And I felt charged up by the end. And I thought, when people who are not of color are getting angry about the end because they feel oppressed, we have a long way to go. As
that's
a society, like that.
I was
going to
ask you. So they felt angry because
they felt attacked and preached at, and that made me so angry. Like,
but I liked it.
I didn't.
It was
heavy-handed,
but
heavy-handed.
It was a perfect note. Wasn't
What's
it?
Heavy-handed is being beaten by a police officer because you've crossed a bridge. That's heavy-handed.
Literally.
This was not heavy-handed.
Yeah.
I think that's heavy-handed from white privilege point of view.
I think I agree.
No,
with
I mean
James
I've lost my white privilege.
End,
to joke about these things. Like, you can't joke about it anymore because it's so ugly.
Yeah. So I think if we were in the future, it would not go to Green Book and it would go to Klansman.
And that is 90 minutes or so of our 2.5 hour conversation after the Oscars. I know it's self-indulgent, and I know only the closest of friends or biggest of Oscar fans have made it to this point. But I'll go ahead and mention it again. Discover indie film, podcasts, TV series,
this and that. You can find it at discoveryindiefilm.com. You can find the TV series at Amazon Prime Video. Just search for Discover Indie Film. And if you're on social media, it's at DIF Wins. All right. You have a lovely day.